Matthew chapter 5, verse 4. Now, we're going to be focusing there this morning, but I'm going to begin reading at verse 1, and we'll read through to verse 12, but again, we're going to be resting in verse 4. Matthew chapter 5, verse 1 to verse 12. And seeing the multitudes, he went up on a mountain, and when he was seated, his disciples came to him. And then he opened his mouth and taught them, saying, "Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. And blessed are those who mourn, for they shall be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be filled. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called sons of God. Blessed are those who are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are you when they revile and persecute you, and say all kinds of evil against you falsely for my sake. Rejoice and be exceedingly glad, for great is your reward in heaven. For so they persecuted the prophets who were before you." And our text this morning, "Blessed are those who mourn, for they shall be comforted." Amen. Let's pray. Father, your word assures us that this is light. Your word is a lamp to our feet and a light to our path. And Father, how we who walk and who grope in darkness need that light this morning. And so, God, we pray for your Holy Spirit. We pray that he would fill our hearts with faith, fill our hearts with a spirit of understanding, with a level of maturity that would love your word and desire to hear it and to work and to take what is theirs. Father, bless your word to our lives. We now pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. A long, long time ago, a French philosopher, now don't tune me out, I know, a French philosopher named Blaise Pascal once said these words, that all men seek happiness, that this is the motive behind the action of every person, even of the man who hangs himself. I think that he could have just as accurately stated that all men avoid sorrow. And I think that would be accurate. We don't particularly like sorrow. We don't like grief. We don't like mourning. And if it were left to us, we would have none of that stuff in our lives. Isn't that true? We do almost everything we possibly can to avoid sorrow and grief and mourning. It's not what we want. What's so interesting, though, is that when we come to this passage, that Jesus says to us, well, actually, that is the blessed life. That a life of sorrow and grief and mourning is what I declare to be blessed. And by the way, that word blessed, if a theologian were to come up with the 10 big and wonderful words of the Bible, I'm sure that word blessed would be right up there. Maybe even at number one. It's a word that has to do with God's divine favor. It's about being in a favorable condition before God. It's heaven smiling down upon its people. And the result is this: a deep, unassailable joy. It's kind of like the way that it is between a parent and a child. When the parent says, you know, I love what you did. You did a great job. And the child just feels so wonderful. It's like the relationship between a coach and a team member. When the coach says, great play. It's like the relationship between a boss and the employee. just want to let you know that you did some great work this week. And the feeling of joy that is evoked and called out in that situation. Jesus says that blessed are those who mourn. It seems like a contradiction, but it's not. And this morning, we want to know what it is to mourn. We want to know what it is to be blessed by God in this way. And so what we're going to do is we're going to unfold this great statement. Blessed are those who mourn, for they will be comforted. And we're going to do that under two broad headings. The first is this, the mourner's profile. The mourner's profile. Blessed are those who mourn. Who exactly are these people who are mourning? Who are these people that Jesus is talking about? Well, they're miserable people. They're terribly miserable people. In fact, if I'm not mistaken, there are about seven words for sorrow in the New Testament. And this word for mourning is the worst kind of sorrow. It is the deepest, most grievous kind of sorrow. It's a word that's actually used to describe people who are going to be judged by God. Luke chapter 7, 6 verse 25, Jesus says this, "Woe to you who laugh now, for you will what? You will weep and mourn." Maybe that's what Jesus is saying when he says, "Blessed are those who mourn." Is that possible? I don't think so. I'll tell you why. Because those people are not blessed. They're what? They're cursed. It's also used to describe people who have lost a loved one. That word mourning is used of people who have lost someone that they love, who is near to them, and they mourn. But you know what? That doesn't fit the context of the Beatitudes. Remember, Jesus is describing the complete Christian. These are spiritual characteristics. He has just begun by saying what? Blessed are the poor in what? In spirit. Those who in themselves see themselves as basically nothing. They're bankrupt spiritually. And out of that poverty, they lift up empty hands to God. And before they're filled with righteousness, something has to happen. They have to mourn. Mourn for what? Mourn for sin. These are the people who Jesus declares to be blessed. Blessed are those who mourn, and mourn specifically, exactly, for sin. For sin. For the sin in their own lives. You have that? Sin in your own life? It means to be broken up. It means to be deeply grieved and sorrowed by the sin that you see in your very own life. It's like the prophet Isaiah, in Isaiah 6, when he saw God, and he had a vision of God, what was his response? "Woe is me! Ruined am I, damned am I, because I have seen the Lord of glory." It's Peter's response to Jesus on the boat. When Jesus realizes that, or when Peter realizes that Jesus is God on the boat, what's his response? "Depart from me, for I am a sinful man." It's the tax collector's response, isn't it? He's beating his breast. He can't even look up at heaven. He says, "God, be merciful to me, the sinner." It's that realization that you have sinned, that you have fallen short of the glory of God, and that breaks you up. You grieve. It's thinking about the consequences of sin. The ruinous consequences of sin. The things we do that hurt other people, destroy their lives, that cause them pain. It's the flippant remark that you thought nothing about, but it cuts and it wounds and it injures. It's the thing that you do that devours and destroys and breaks hearts and devastates people. It's thinking about the consequences of our sin. It's thinking about what your sin means to God. It's realizing that ultimately your sin is against a holy God, that it injures God. That God has called you to be holy, and you said to God, you know what, I don't want that. I think I'm going to live my own way, do my own thing to your Creator, to the one who made you, who made your flesh, your bones, who gave you your life, who has blessed you your entire lives. Saying no. I'll do however, whatever I want. I'll live however I please. It's realizing that your sin is against the holy God. And that your sin cuts God's heart. Do you believe that? Do you believe that your sin injures a holy God? It's realizing what God has done for you in Jesus Christ. It's understanding the love that God has showed you by giving His own Son for you to die in your place, to take sin's punishment on your behalf, and then to spurn that love by living however you want. By doing whatever you please. And that, friends, should grieve our hearts. To spurn the love of God. To say of Jesus, it was no great big deal by the way that we live. Friends, we need to think about these things. We need to think good and hard about what our sin means to God. We have to think about it until our hearts are broken. Until we grieve and we mourn. Jesus says that blessed are those who mourn. And mourn for their own sins. But not just for their own sins. But for the sins of others. Which is a challenge, isn't it? Because when we think of other people's sins, what often is our tendency? We laugh. We mock. We ridicule. We condemn. We tut-tut. We criticize. We do everything except what we should. Which is what? To cry. And to mourn. To realize that their sin has consequences. To realize that their sin is against the holy God. And in many cases, that their sin is to spurn the love of God through Jesus Christ. And friends, that should break our hearts. It should. It should break our hearts as we look around us. And we should be looking at people in this light, not simply as fellow human beings, but as people who have sinned against God. And friends, they're all around us. You think about this. Their lives are on track to eternal darkness. The people you live around, you work with, you study with, that you pass by day in, day out. Their lives are on track to an everlasting blackness. And friends, we should grieve over that. We don't grieve over that. We don't care. Often we are indifferent to it. But we should. And we'd ask God to break our hearts over the sin of other people. King David, or whoever wrote Psalm 119, what did he say as he looked out and saw people breaking God's law? What? Streams of water pour down from my face. Why? Because they do not keep your law. It broke his heart. And friends, in the Church of Jesus Christ, when we see sin, we should mourn. It should break our hearts. We should not become Pharisaical. We should not be uppity. We should not be self-righteous, as though we could never do such a thing. Our hearts instead should break. Did you hear that? Our hearts should mourn over the sin that we see within our body. It should break our hearts. We want to be blessed. We want God's benediction on our life, on our congregation. We want to hear God saying, "Blessed are those who mourn." Why? Because of what that benediction consists of, which we now consider secondly, as we look at the mourner's promise. And it's this. Jesus says, "Blessed are those who mourn, for they shall be comforted." They shall be comforted. The Heidelberg Catechism, question 1, answer 1, asks the question, what is our only comfort in life? And the comfort is this, that we are not ourselves, we belong to God. And that one of the blessings of that relationship is that He forgives our sins. It's Psalm 32. What blessedness it is for those whose sins have been forgiven, whose transgressions have been covered. This is the comfort, friends, that God brings to those who mourn. Will bring to us as we mourn. As we get into people's lives, as we get close to people, as God works a heart of compassion in our hearts so that we aren't uppity, that we aren't self-righteous, but that our hearts break over the sin we see in the body of Jesus Christ and in the city of Toronto. And friends, your hearts need to be broken. This morning, my heart needs to be broken. Because, friends, I believe this, that only those who mourn will know the comfort of God's forgiveness. The only people who will know that comfort are people who get serious about mourning for sin. Because those are the people who go looking for God's comfort and forgiveness. If we would be a people, I believe this, who will get into people's lives and mourn over their sin and mourn to the point where we are actually praying for God's comfort and forgiveness to reach their lives, then we would know that comfort. The reason why we know so little of the comfort of God's forgiveness in the lives of those around us is because we're not getting close enough to see their sin. And to mourn over that sin. And friends, God's comfort is there for you this morning, personally. If you will mourn, if you are mourning for your sin this morning, if you're broken up and grieved by your sin this morning, and you've taken the next step, which is to confess your sin to God, you must know this morning that in Jesus Christ there is forgiveness of sin. 1 John 1:9 says what? If we confess our sins, He is what? Faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Faithful because He will always do it. Just because He cannot but do it. Why? Because of what Christ has secured for us in His work. God would be unjust to not forgive you. if you come to Him and ask for forgiveness. Christ has earned, He has merited that blessing for you. Let that motivate you to come to Him and know that if you confess your sins, that He will pardon your sins. He will cleanse your sins and forgive you from all unrighteousness. And that's comfort, friends. That's comfort. Jesus comes to us this morning and says, you may have that comfort. The comfort that comes only to those who mourn and mourn for sin. If you're mourning this morning, you must know this, that God will comfort you. If we're mourning and confessing and turning from our sin, there will be comfort. God will forgive our sins in Jesus Christ. And friends, maybe this morning you need to lay down some burdens before God. Maybe this morning you need to do business with God because you haven't been laying down those burdens. And you've been hanging on to and retaining sin in your own heart, in your own life. And you don't know anything of the comfort of God. Because you're living on the run. You're living in opposition to God. You're running from God. And this morning I'm just calling you to stop running. And to draw near to God, to get right with God. To ask God to take away the burden of your guilt. I'm asking you this morning to ask God to break your heart over your sin. To humble you. And say, God, you know where I am before you. You know I want it my way. You know I want it on my terms. But this morning I am humbling myself. I am coming to you. I'm acknowledging, I'm confessing my sin before you. Forgive me. Forgive me. And Father, give me your comfort. Comfort me with your forgiveness. If you'll come this morning, and if you will ask God for that comfort, He will give it to you in Jesus Christ. Which of you this morning doesn't need that comfort? Which of you this morning doesn't need the comfort of God's forgiveness? Which of you? Can I see a hand this morning if you don't need that comfort? Jesus says, blessed are those who mourn, for they will be comforted. And my prayer this morning is this, that you will mourn for your sin and for the sin we see here and the sin we see all around us in our city, that our hearts will break and that in breaking, they will be healed and comforted by God's grace and God's forgiveness. And may that be so in Jesus' name. Amen. Our Father in heaven, we pray this, that we won't be indifferent about our sin here, that we won't be glib, that we won't think less of it than it really is. But Lord God, that we have an accurate, penetrating assessment of our sin, what it means, what it is to you. And Lord God, we pray this, take our hearts and in respect to sin, make them break. Make them break, God. And then heal. And then bring your comfort. And then cleanse, we pray. And I pray, Lord, that you will do this for all who are here this morning. No matter how old, no matter how young. Father, may they find the comfort of your forgiveness in Jesus Christ. Amen.